Welcome to the Red X Real Estate Podcast. Here, you'll discover how to create stability and opportunity for your business with tips, tricks, habits, and hacks from top-performing agents. If you'd like to receive notifications for new episodes, be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever else you like to listen. And for even more updates on ebooks, webinar trainings, and other useful real estate content, head over to theredx.com/blog and click on any blog post to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Thanks for listening. Now sit back and enjoy the episode.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. Another episode of the Red X Podcast. My name is Tyler Fenn. I'm hosting today. And I'm super excited. Jake Dixon's with us, founder and chief awesome officer. Is that if I kind of call you that at the locker room?
And I've been called worse things.
All right, fair enough. And Jake, hey, thanks for being with me today.
It's an honor. Enjoyed to get to know you a little bit before the show started here, and looking forward to adding value to the community any way I can.
That was the whole part. You know, we kicked off this podcast when COVID hit. We started a daily podcast. The whole idea was we want to create value and provide opportunities for people despite the world being shut down. And then it just kind of continued, and we've done that ever since. So that's awesome. So hey, thank you. It's cool that we found some things we have in common, right? That you played baseball right here in Orem, Utah. So that's pretty rad.
Small world.
So small world. Well, thank you. And Jake, before we kick off, will you give us a rundown of the locker room and the coaching program that you provide and who you typically have on board as clientele, so that everybody who's listening, because this is a pretty popular podcast. I want to make sure that everybody knows who you are and who the locker room is. Will you do that for me?
Pressure. I better not blow it, but yeah, sure. Thank you for the opportunity. My one moment of fame for a shameless plug. So it's really twofold. So the locker room, we say that we provide real solutions to all things related to growth, retention, productivity, and profitability as it relates to the broker owners and leaders out there. So we have partnerships where we kind of provide this all-inclusive, all-in-one experience with one-on-one coaching, group coaching. They and all of their agents have full-blown access to the tools in the Locker Room University, as well as all the things in the Locker Room Toolkit. So it's really this all-encompassing partnership. And then on the agent aspect, of course, we work one-on-one with agents and or team leads. Same thing, except it's growth, retention, systems, and profitability. And so we've created the Locker Room Success System, which is our kind of proprietary coaching framework to take folks through to create duplicatable and predictable results. And if there was an area of specialty, my heart and soul, as well as many of our coaches, lies in the what I refer to blue ocean. It's the 87% of those agents who struggle to make it in the business. It's the 90%+ of NAR who sells less than 24 homes per year. If you're a dual career agent and just start, you're our client, right? There's plenty of coaching and training companies out there, and they're great for the quote unquote already successful agent. But really, when we can help that lesser experienced or new agent thrive and succeed, that's really where we tend to gravitate on the agent side.
So I love the switch to systems, right? And I love that profitability is in there, because Oh man, have you looked into some businesses and you're like, wow, there's tremendous revenue and you're making this much money,
right? Dude, like, I know you have an idea. Yes. I coached a $150 million a year team lead. I won't say who it is and where it is. And yet when I got behind the books, broke as a joke. And yet that's the same person who's crossing stages, receiving the awards that the average Joe is comparing him or herself to. And it's like, man, if you only knew.
Yeah, it's wild how often we overlook profitability in the real estate industry. We look at revenue, we look at transactions, we look at commission percentages and average price per sale. But sometimes when it comes down, what is the net value of the business when all is said and done? So I love that. But I love systems, right? And so you tell me if I've nailed it, because this, in my experience, this is how it goes, right? You talk to a new agent, you go, why'd you get into the industry? And they go, well, I want to be my own boss and I want to make my own hours, right? Like it's some variation of that. They're like, unlimited income is probably part of that, but they're like, I want to be my own boss and I want to make my own hours. But Jake, how many agents are great at being their own boss and actually work the hours doing the right thing to make it? I mean, like you said, 87% of agents that just never make it. It's wild, well, it's man.
What they say, right? Most people get into it for freedom, flexibility, and financial gain. And then we get to tease around and say, unfortunately, they chose freedom and flexibility over working and forgetting right. that they actually, until they have a business, they own a job. We still got to show up, still got to get in the habits and success routines that it takes as if you did have a BOSS and show up every flipping day. Because last time I checked, unless you have a listing or a client you're actively working with, in many cases, we wake up every single day unemployed, and that's not a good feeling. So you got to go out and talk to people. And as we say here, real estate's a contact sport. You got to get your jersey dirty.
Dude, I love that. I love that. And I agree. I think that we overlooked that a lot, right? We were talking beforehand and I said, look, right now we've got to be really good marketers in the industry. And for a long time it was like, hey, we had to be great salespeople. And I still agree with that. And sales is my background. And that's where, like, I love the psychology behind selling, but marketing, I mean, brand awareness and exposure and all of that is so crucial right now. So let me just address the elephant in the room, right? This week, everybody's losing their minds over the NAR settlement and all the announcements around that. I don't want to focus on that because everybody's already an expert, right? If somebody wants to give their two cents there, let's do that. Let me ask this question and let's start off with this, Jake. Regardless of what's happening with NAR and buyer's agents commissions and MLS and all of that, what should people be focused on right now as we move into the summer months of 2024? Where should people be spending their time, energy, and resources?
So a couple things. One is in the shape of a CRM. So forgive me in advance if I just get this out and then we can deep dive.
Go, man, go.
Number one, newsflash, everybody, right? No matter what happens, and I don't claim to be an expert on NAR lawsuits and stuff, there's a reason I haven't gone with the herd mentality and posted on my Facebook page with my opinion piece and how I think things are going to change. I don't know. I want to wait and see and observe and let the dust settle before I open my mouth. And not pretend as if I know something that I know nothing about. So that's number one. But newsflash, it's still going to be about relationships and having the relationship at the center of everything. Number two, knowing and articulating your value and how to properly present that. And number three, providing a quality service that someone else is willing to pay for that turns you a reasonable profit. And I read something the other day that it says a business is the following, number five things. The business is a repeatable process that, number one, creates and delivers something of value. Number two, that other people want or need. Number three, at a price they're willing to pay. Number four, in a way that satisfies the customer's needs and expectations. And number five, so that the business brings in a sufficient profit to make it worthwhile to continue to operate. Here's my stance on this, right? Which plays well to our coaching methodology. We don't help real estate agents or broker owners sell more homes. It's a mindset shift. We help them become real estate business owners who just happen to sell homes. So when you take what I just read and treat it that I am running a business, there's actually not a whole lot that's new here, aside from some forms and extra technicalities to get somebody to sign a piece of paper so they know that you're representing them and what all that means. I mean, maybe I'm an overly simplistic guy, but I'd love your take.
No, on. So as you're reading these five things that make up a business, right? In my head, I'm thinking of the acronym SMART for goal setting, right? Specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time sensitive. Right. Like. You can set a goal, but unless you set a goal with these things in mind, the likelihood that you're going to achieve is it decreases, right? Where what you're saying, you're like, look, I can go create an entity and I can get licensed and I can go throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. But unless you have those five things that you listed off, that spaghetti's never going to stick, right? And you're just going to be stuck boiling a bunch of spaghetti with never actually being profitable as a business, right?
Correct.
And I think that's huge, right? We get into the industry. I hear this all the time, Jake. I'm like, oh, you know who would be a great agent? So and so. They're so good with people. They're such a good people person. And I'm like, some of the worst people I know are in real estate and are really successful. but it's because they're focused on some of these things that you're talking about. And, and I think, man, I'm with you, right? If you can focus on those things and be really good, but it's easy to say, how do we go do it? Like, if I'm a brand new agent, Jake, and I go, what should I go focus on in the next 90 yep. days? Where, like, how do I get my hands dirty and use my time wisely?
I got you on that. So number one, download, and I get no royalties from this, download and listen to or read the book E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, right? It's different from owning a job to owning and operating a business. It's just going to take that mindset shift that I was just talking about, going from selling homes to being a small business owner in real estate who happens to sell homes. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's what and this is the acronym I was referencing. CRMs. I believe this year and beyond is all about CRMs and clickbait. It's not what you're thinking. CRMs, not the software. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. I had to, I'm just saying. The C represents consistency.
Okay.
The agent's willing to double down and be consistent. This is not new information, but especially now than ever before, I believe are going to win. Well, what does that look like? For example, here at the locker room, we have a concept called the 5 to 25 challenge. Math majors out there. It represents talking to five people a day, no less than five people a day about real estate for 5 days a week for 50 weeks out of the year. Trust my math, that's 1,250 real estate conversations over the course of a year, okay? Now, I have tracked this religiously for nearly 10 years, and so for the lesser experienced newer agents out there, there's generally a 50-to-1 conversion rate from conversation to new business. That's 2%. So if I take 1,250 conversations times 2%, that's 25 sales right there by applying time on task over time. The doctor, when growing up, did not say seven apples on a Sunday will keep the doctor away. He or she would say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. There's actually a lot of wisdom packed into that. And so we've got agents, Tyler, that procrastinate or have that avoidance behavior that like, hey, you know, I made my 25 contacts for the week. That's not the point. I want you doing five a day. It's building that muscle memory, building that habit so you don't get sore. So the C to me is consistency. The R is what I've said already, relationships. In a post-COVID era, when the world, apparently, if you turn on the news, is on fire, people actually want to hear from you. You are not slimy. You are not salesy. And this is a coin that one of our term that one of our coaches has coined, and that is need generation instead of lead generation. People have needs. Stop calling them, hey, you know, looking to buy, sell, invest in real estate. And damn it, start asking them actual questions and be interested in what's going on in their lives and how you can help them. Go out and need generate rather than focusing just on lead generating, and you might be surprised what happens.
Love that.
Number three, M stands for market knowledge. I believe the agents who are going to win and thrive through this also are the local economists of choice. They know what's going on in their backyard and the community up the street. They know average sales price to list price ratios, average days on market for each breakdown of price points, things like that. So now when somebody says, how's that real estate thing going? You don't say it's good. You actually sound like an economist and can rattle off some statistics and things. The last one quickly is skill set development. No longer can we get by just putting people on drips and searches and automations. Like, it's going to require you to sharpen your sword and be a great presenter, a great marketer like Tyler was talking about, building your own personal brand, knowing how to negotiate. Right? The skill sets and plugging into trainings, listening to amazing podcasts like this from people who are doing big things is the ticket, and then applying that into your business. So I'm sorry that was a little long-winded, but CRMs, I believe, is the acronym of what it's going to take to win moving forward.
So, and I'm writing these things down, right? I look at consistency and I'm with you. This is one of the things that going back to, hey, be my own boss, make my own hours. You can't work 40 hours on Monday, right? Like you just can't. And unfortunately you can't build a consistent pipeline of business. You can't build a steady flow of business without the regular additive of of new people into that pipeline wherever they're at in the process, right? That's such a huge one. And then skill set development. I heard somebody use the term. They said, "Hey, if you want to be a millionaire, you got to become a skillionaire." Have you ever heard that?
I have not.
I loved it. I heard that recently. You got to be a skillionaire. And I love that term, right? Because we think of these benchmarks and we go, yeah, but in order to do that, there's a certain set of skills that I have to have.
Yes.
If I'm a brand new agent, Jake, what do you think are the most necessary skills? You already mentioned consistency, relationships, market knowledge. If I was brand new, is that what you'd tell me? You'd be like, look, focus on these things right now and build those to the point that you're confident? Or would you tell me to focus on something else?
So, and not to splice hairs, but some of those are more behavioral or habits to get into rather than skills. Okay. So the skills are things, yes, like knowing how to market. I'd pick up Seth Godin books and any marketing gurus you can get of and learn how to market yourself. That's a skill, right? How to obviously negotiate, whether that's done through script and role play practices. It's like pulling teeth sometimes to get leaders, let alone real estate agents, to actually practice. And yet the best of the best, we were just talking about the March Madness tourney, they practice. They don't practice on clients in this case.
Yeah.
They practice in advance because I believe that's where most games are won, are actually in practice before the clock has even started.
So let me interrupt you right here because this is one of those things. I'm totally with you, right? And we were talking about athletics prior to kicking off here, but I tell this to people all the time, Jake. I'm like, look, if you want to get really good at presenting, put up a camera, whether you're prospecting live or you're role playing, and record what it is that you're doing. Record audio and record video, because look at any great athlete, Jake, and what do they spend hours doing? They watch film, right? Like over and over. If you take an Olympic swimmer, for example, right? They're gonna record and watch their launch off the swim platform, and they're gonna watch it over and over and over again because getting outside of yourself and looking back and looking at the recording allows you to go, oh, you know what? Actually, my form is not what I thought it was. Or when you're prospecting and presenting, or if you're ever on stage going, oh man, I thought that my energy level was like, I thought I was bringing it, but it turns out I have the personality of a wet sock, right? And all of a sudden now you're far more aware. And like, I think that's one of those things, this really intentional practice at getting good at what we do and not just doing it because like, okay, I've got a client, I'm going to get on the phone and, you know, I'll try it. But yeah, I love the idea of role play and setting up a camera and going through. And isn't that, you're a former athlete, right? Like it's painful to watch your own film. Is it not?
It absolutely can be. Yeah.
it's uncomfortable.
We'll avoid it like the plague. You're not going to believe this. I literally, as I'm looking over here, making a note, I wrote down game film. You stole yes. my thunder because I speak to this. No, I'm just playing with you, but I speak to this all the time, Tyler. It's in my keynote speech called Turning Your Defining Moments into Your Superpowers that I teach all over the place. And you're so spot on. That step 3 of 4 is watching and studying your game film. And I use the exact analogy yes. that you just did. Take the Super Bowl, right? You already said, what are they doing leading up to the game? They're practicing. I got that. But they're also in the war room studying it mm-hmm. and watching game film. What's the quarterback doing between when they have a turnover on down? The camera shows him on the bench and he's swiping on a tablet. What's he looking at? Frame by frame by frame, he's watching the game film. So here's something crunchy I can give your audience as it relates to this. We have come up with the acronym, go figure again, KISS. It's not keep it simple, stupid. Okay. KISS. Here's what you do. K, it stands for, what is it that I need to keep doing? It's working. I need to keep doing. It's like AAR, after action review in the military. The I represents, what is it I need to be more intentional about? The S, first one, what do I need to stop doing? And the last one, what do I need to start doing? So if you hang around a locker room coach long enough, you're going to hear us saying like, oh, kiss it. Go kiss that. Okay. So what we're saying is all the way from, if an agent's listening to this right now and you have an open house going on this weekend, right after that open house is done, I want you to kiss it. What do you need to keep doing? What do you need to do differently and more intentionally on the next one? What are you going to stop doing? What do you need to start doing for your next open house? We're constantly sharpening the sword. I can kiss my week. I can kiss my month. I can kiss my year. I can kiss anything if I'm willing just to slow down, study the game film, adapt, and make that in-game adjustment. One of the greatest competitive advantages in sports, and I believe that carries over into business, is a person's recovery time. You talk about these Olympic athletes. They go perform at the highest level, and you imagine how beat up, how sore, all that lactic acid in their body, they got it flush. They have the competitive advantage if they have a quicker and shorter recovery time than their competition. Yeah. Well, guess what? In real estate and business, it's no different. What's your recovery time, agents, when somebody tells you no? Does it take you 3 days to recover and get over yourself? Or can you get up, have that short-term memory, flush it, and get on to the next?
So I love this. And often I talk with people, Jake, I talk about if you know that you want to be, if you want to go somewhere, if you have a goal that you're trying to accomplish, there's really two things that you have to know, right? You have to know what you want to accomplish, but you also have to know where you're at, right? Which, and then I use GPS as the analogy, right? Like I go to Google Maps and I put in my location, the destination I want to go. And it goes, great, where do you want to start from? And I put that in. But then what you have to do, and GPS is such a great analogy for this, is along the way, right? GPS is continually recalculating, going, am I still on the best route? Right. And every once in a while, it'll be like, hey, turns out now there's an accident up ahead, but you're still on the fastest route. Or do you want to take this detour? Right. So this idea of KISS, right? What do I keep doing? What do I need to be intentional about? And then what do I stop? And what do I stop doing? What do I start? Here's what I love is because if somebody has long-term goals, whether that's your annual, your 5-year, your 10-year goals, whatever it is, every once in a while you have to stop and have a situation report, is what we call it here at Red X. Like, where are you at right now? What's going on? And we have to ask a few questions, right? Are the goals that we set still the right goals? And if so, are we still on track to get them done, right? And I love, because what you just outlined, this is such a good way of doing it, to every once in a while stop and go, okay, what went well?
Yes.
And what can I repeat and continue to do? Yeah. What did I try that didn't work out or get results that I'm hoping for? And how can I eliminate that from the process so that I am on track for the goals that I set? I mean, if somebody were to do this after, like you said, an open house or every listing presentation, if they were just to like chart this out and be super intentional about it, because that's the key, right? Which is part of that acronym. I mean, I'm just thinking the amount of growth that somebody would see in their skill set would be bananas. Like, it would be crazy how fast they would go from being where they are to where they could be. Just with that following those, asking yourself those few questions that you just outlined.
We witness that every day for those willing to do the work and be disciplined with it. And look, what all we're saying here is, you mentioned like how I shared about systems earlier. What we just described, you guys, systems can be a big, intimidating concept. That's how you create a system, a standard operating procedure. Let's imagine for a hot minute here that Tyler's birthday is tomorrow. Let's just pretend. I have no idea. Okay. And dear old Uncle Jake here wants to bake Tyler, my buddy Tyler, a cake. Well, I'm not a baker. I don't do that. So what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to look up and find the aisle with the cake mix and all the baking supplies. I'm going to go there. I'm going to take one of the boxes off the shelf and say, yeah, that one looks good. That's what I want to make. I'm buying what's on the front of the box. Now, what I do is I turn the box around, because now the box on the back is going to give me the instructions, the ingredients, right, and the step-by-step order in which I need to crack the eggs, the flour, what oven temperature I need to set it at, blah, blah, blah. If I jack with the recipe, cake's not going to turn out right. It's a model. It's a system to create a predictable and duplicatable outcome. What we just described, whether it's KISS, after action reviews, you do your own thing, study the game film, go out and then try it again and experiment. And eventually that cake tastes delicious. And you're going to wonder, how did I do that? Well, thank goodness I documented it because now I can do that over and over again, and I can hire a buyer's agent or whatever form of leverage now and hand the same recipe over to them. That's how you do it. And I
love the idea. Like, I love that you talk about tweaking the recipe, right? Because that's really what it's about. It's not like that cake didn't work out, so I'm going to go buy an entirely different cake, right? It's that you go, okay, that didn't work out. Let me just make this one little change, right? And see how it turns out. And then from there, let me make this one little change again. And I think too often we get to the point where we're like, I'm not seeing the results that I want. And so agents are like, great, what else is out there?
Right.
And in reality, it's like, look, if you just tweak your form a little bit, if you just tweak your script just a little bit, you'll start to see the results that you're looking for. And that goes for any channel of business. That could be your social media. That could be your prospecting. That could be your sphere of influence, follow up and your database management. I mean, it's your systems, right? It's all of that. And once you have systems, and this is what I think is super, super exciting, Jake, about what you're talking about. Once you have systems, then you can plug people into the systems, right? And then, and you don't have to manage people. All you have to do is manage the process. And that's when scalability comes, right? I mean, we talked earlier about profitability. Yeah. Like, that's how you scale and increase profitability, is by those tweaks and analyzations of the process. And then when you plug people into that, I mean, that's when crazy stuff starts to happen. And I know that you've probably seen that in your business and in your industry and with your clients as well, right? Is
yes.
When they follow the process, it works, right?
And 100%. See, part of the problem from my observation, right? I'm not saying I'm gospel here, but is if you're an agent listening to this and relating, we sometimes have a tendency to get overly creative. And I don't know about you, but these athletes, I just spoke to an Olympian the other day and former NFL player. I asked him all kinds of questions. Same answer. Success, whatever that means to you, is boring. It's mundane. It's repetitious. But it takes discipline to stick with it long enough to achieve uncommon results doing the common things. Some of us want to mess with the recipe and look, create the recipe. Make sure it's duplicatable. Make sure it tastes good. And then you can sprinkle some sprinkles on top. That's right. Your creativity. You can experiment with a different flavor of icing, but the cake is still the cake. All right. Yeah. But we jack around with that recipe and never quite get there because of our impatience or creativity, or we're human beings and we're really good at overcomplicating things that aren't overly complicated. And then we go hide behind that complexity as justification for future failure. We get to say, see, I told you so. See, I told you this was hard. When we manufactured the difficulty in the first place.
Yeah. So it makes me think there's a quote, and I believe it's Jim Rohn, and I'm gonna paraphrase it because I don't have it memorized, but it's success isn't doing extraordinary things. It's doing ordinary things extraordinarily well, right? And that's where, when you say discipline, that's what it comes down to, right? Because anything amazing. I have four kids. I have four boys, right? And they're I've got teenagers, and they're all right at that phase. And I'm God like, bless you. You know, my 15-year-old, he wants to work out, and he's like, Dad, I just want to be tough. I want to be cut and ripped. And I'm like, I just had a conversation with today. I was like, great. You're spending time in the gym, and that's awesome. You got to spend time in the kitchen too. Right. And that's the real hard part is how you plan your meals and how you eat. And so I'm showing him some videos of what it could be like. He's like, oh my gosh, that's going to take so much time. And I'm like, yeah, but that's what it takes. Like, it's just getting in and doing that. And doing it over and over and over. One of the things that I think, I don't know if it helps or hurts us in the industry, but we have lots of events, right? Lots of events all right. We've got corporate events and we've got all these things that we go to, and we come away from those with that like, rah, rah. Yeah. I'm going to go take over the world. Right. But when you get off the plane back in your hometown after that motivating event, if you don't have the discipline, then it's not gonna matter, right? You're gonna come home and fall right back into some of those old patterns where you're not being productive. It takes that long-term consistency, like you talked about, to build something. And that's really what we're doing.
Yeah, you're spot on, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because it takes all of that, and another way of saying it rather might be commitment. It takes commitment. And not to sound preachy, but there is a difference, and we need to acknowledge the difference of commitment versus being interested, right? Interest, it's convenient. It sounded good. That's why a lot of people's New Year's resolutions fail. 92% of people who set a New Year's resolution never get there by the end of the year. They were interested. It was in the honeymoon moment. It sounded good. Commitment, on the other hand, is doing what you said you were going to do long after the feeling or emotion when you said it has passed. Think about that. Yeah. Are you still as committed, jacked up, crazy, excited 6 months from now, 1,000 no's later, as you were in the time that you said it? That's the real test of commitment. And the easiest way, and it's not easy, one of the ways I've learned to deal with that in the ebb and flow of emotion is to focus on what's the next right thing. Because if I win the decision in the moment, then I'm going to win the day. And if I win the day, I win the week. If I win the week, I win the month. If I win the month, I win the quarter. If I win the quarter, I win the year. Your success boils down to the moment of decision. And you said earlier, most agents get in this business for freedom and flexibility and financial gain. What I would add to that, very common, I want to make six figures. Great. I'd love for you to make six figures too. Six figures can be 100,000 or 999,000. So there's a pretty broad spread here. However, you can't do that if your financial thermostat is set at 40,000 or your calendar represents that of a $40,000 per year work ethic. The audio is not matching the video.
I love this. And I, everything you're saying, it like resonates with me. I'm like, there's so many books going through my head and things that, and so I feel like we've landed on some good things right here. If people want to learn more about the locker room, Jake, where can they do that?
Yeah, we're on all the socials. So you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram and all the good stuff there. But otherwise, our website is simply TLRNation.com. TLR, not TRL. That's Total Request Live by Carson Daly or something. All right. So TLRNation.com.
Awesome. Thank you. And there, we just threw it up on screen so everybody can see it. This is awesome. And everything you're saying, Jake, I agree with you. And I think that right now, 2020, I mean, we're coming out of some weird real estate markets over the last few years, right? I mean, it's been wild. And you said something about turning on the TV and the world being on fire. I think the most important thing that people need to take away is, look, you just got to keep your head down and keep moving forward, right? There's all kinds of things that all the time are going to try to sway us from what we're committed to. Like you said, those things that we said, look, here's what I ultimately want to accomplish. And you're going to wake up days and not be excited about what you want to accomplish. But that commitment to it and that discipline to keep going forward. And the truth is, we got to remember that transactions happen every day. They happen every single day, regardless of market conditions, regardless of inventory, regardless of interest rates and lawsuits and all of that. The market continues to move forward, and we provide a skill and a service that is necessary in the economy. And so I love that you focus with your agents. You focus on those things about creating systems and profitability. You said growth, retention, systems, and profitability at the beginning of the podcast. I love it. Jake, you're the man. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. This is another episode of the Red X podcast. You can find it on all of the different places where you like to listen to your favorite podcasts. The Red X podcast is there. And be sure to visit our website, redx.com. And then you see that right there, the Locker Room Nation, TLRNation.com. Jake, you're the man. Thank you so much for being with us today. And we'll have you on here again next time.
I'd love to. It's been a lot of fun, man. Thanks, Tyler.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Jake. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks.